Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The massive coal ash spill into the Dan River continues to dominate the news in Raleigh. This week, we learned from Duke Energy that several other coal ash ponds the company maintains have corrugated pipes similar to the one that ruptured near the Dan River. Governor Pat McCrory continues to call on Duke to clean up the coal ash ponds, but his own top environmental official doesn't seem to agree. Representative Pricey Harrison has been calling for the regulation of coal ash in North Carolina since a massive spill in Tennessee a few years ago. North Carolina lawmakers may finally be listening. Representative Harrison talked with News and Views producer Clayton Hinkle about her push to pass strict new rules governing the management of the toxic ash.
You've been talking about the coal ash issue for 6 years now. It seems like it's really taken this disaster on the Dan River for this to gain any traction.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, we had a massive spill in Tennessee. A billion gallons of toxic coal ash poured into Tennessee rivers in December of 2008, and it was in January of 2009 at a committee meeting where I realized that actually our department didn't have any rules in place really to protect us from a similar spill, and so I started looking at what we needed legislatively to rein in coal ash and more safely regulate coal ash.
Remind our listeners what exactly is in coal ash. This is really toxic stuff.
Yeah, it is. So coal ash is the product of electricity production, and when they burn the coal, and this is the residual left over after the electricity is produced, and it's put into a coal ash pond generally. And then coal ash contains known carcinogens and neurotoxicants such as mercury, arsenic, selenium, zinc, boron, cadmium, beryllium, thallium, and just the list is quite long. And we know that there are known cancer clusters. The EPA has documented this around these coal ash ponds.
Initially, when you brought this issue up right after the Tennessee spill, we managed to get a legislative hearing out of it. You did say that there was pushback. Do you think the climate has changed given the level of attention that the spill on the Dan River has received?
Yes, it's been quite remarkable. So when I tried to get the legislation moving in 2009, the pushback I was getting was that if we had to more safely manage coal ash, it was going to raise electricity rates. And my response has always been like, it's not okay to poison North Carolinians in the pursuit of cheap electricity. But that was the resistance that I ran into among my colleagues after a very effective lobbying job by Duke against the coal ash bill that I've tried to run in 2009, but it seems that the different climate right now, that the reaction has been pretty swift and pretty dramatic among my colleagues in terms of their interest in doing something about coal ash as a result of the Dan River spill, which received a lot of national attention.
It seems like there's some discrepancy about what's the best thing to do with this. Some people say, well, the best thing to do is to move it away from the water. The Secretary of Diener said, well, there's science that says that moving it is not the best approach. Maybe we should just cap it in place. Talk a little bit about those two very different ideas.
Well, I think it's interesting because Diener has seemed to be quite sympathetic to Duke with regard to the coal ash problem up until the Dan River spill and it thwarted environmental efforts to get coal ash cleaned up. So it's hard to know now what they're saying, what they really believe or think. But this is really toxic stuff. It's primarily located next to waterways. It's documented poisoning of our water across the state in the 14 power plant locations. So we know it's a problem, and Diener has admitted to it. There's just no way to remove the problem without removing the ash. And I think that most people and a lot of the public health advocates say we just need to dry out the ponds and move that toxic ash into above ground lined landfills.
If you cap it and leave it in place, there is no lining. There is nothing that is keeping that from leaking into the ground.
Right. That's crazy. I mean, that's a crazy solution. Duke did mention that was something they had been talking about doing at the Environmental Review Commission hearing last week, which was sort of the first hearing on the issue since the 2009 discussion of coal ash. So they did mention that, but that's no solution.
We want to remind our listeners, too, it's not just the Dan River. This is every site in North Carolina where there is a coal ash pond is leaking.
That's exactly true. And some, you know, pretty large population areas like the city of Charlotte. Charlotte's drinking water supply is contaminated with coal ash contaminants.
Talk a little bit about what else is done with coal ash. I don't think a lot of people would realize that that product is recycled, and we don't know whether or not that is safe.
Well, right, and that's always been a problem to me. But the more toxic stuff stays in the ponds, but the power companies have been selling the less toxic ash to recyclers, and it's used in things like drywall and cinder blocks and concrete, but I even heard it's used in toothpaste, which sort of astounded me because we don't know that the toxins in the coal ash remain inert. And I think that it's just been assumed that they do, that it just binds to the coal, but we don't know that, and clearly it's not inert in the water column in these places where the toxic coal ash has seeped into the water column.
The current administration has talked very much about the need to have a customer-friendly Department of Environment and Natural Resources. We've seen legislation that has rolled back some of the regulations that have been on the books for years. Talk about your concerns about whether there is the climate to get change through this session or in the longer session coming up in 2015.
Well, so Department of Environment has taken a market shift from the Purdue administration to the McCrory administration, as you mentioned, being much more focused on issuing permits with expedition rather than considering the public health consequences. As a result of this Dan River spill, they certainly do seem to be more concerned about the consequences of the spill and what kinds of actions they need to take in the future to prevent something like this from happening. And I think that the public pressure has helped and all the national attention has helped, but I also get the sense from my colleagues, at least the ones who've been exposed to the discussion, that they're actually concerned about the issue and alarmed and have some sense of urgency in terms of providing a framework for better, safer storage of coal ash. So we may see something in the short session.
One other thing that you had mentioned in your presentation today, and that was the hammer of federal subpoenas. Obviously, that could play a role in how quickly this administration works to come up with a solution.
Well, there's that, and you kind of got to wonder what's going on there, because I think some of the discovery requests associated with that might, I don't know if it's making them nervous, but it's certainly a criminal probe is a pretty serious matter, and I think that certainly has prodded the department and the McCrory administration into acting with a little bit more forcefulness and expedition. I'm not sure in the absence of that if they would have just let this go along as they have and perhaps, you know, out of sight, out of mind with time.
If you could write the perfect piece of legislation with regards to this issue, what would you like to see in it?
Well, I filed something that I thought was sort of an ideal bill in 2009, and I don't think that it's really changed since then. I mean, it would certainly ban new coal ash ponds. It would require better monitoring and inspection of the ponds, and would require the removal of the current ponds into a safer storage, such as drying them out. And ultimately, I think we got to rethink our dependence on coal. That's a big piece of it, because it's clearly not sustainable. And for all kinds of reasons. But I think that would get to it. And I think we desperately need some federal sort of floors in terms of regulation. And that's been a problem because the EPA has been slow to issue its new rules on coal ash. And I think we absolutely, in the current climate where the legislature has not been great on environmental issues, we need the EPA to provide some framework where minimal protections on this issue.
Do you think the state is waiting for the EPA to come out with its regulations, or do you think that it will act more expeditiously?
I think that the state's going to act as a result of Dan River and the attention. And I think the EPA has been working on this for 4 years or 5 years, promised us rules in December of 2010. And so I think that we can't really wait on the feds. But as Amy Adams pointed out, we've got actually more standards in North Carolina than a lot of our states, especially a lot of our coal-dependent states. So we as a country, we could use better regulation and direction from the EPA on this.
One other issue that this brings up is budget cuts that we've seen at Diener in recent years. Can you talk a little bit about that and whether you think that we will see some additional resources allocated to a department that is already very thin?
I was shocked that we had cut Diener's budget by something like 42% off of 2005-06 levels in the last biennium. That was 2011-12 budget. But then in this year, we cut them another 15%. So we're significantly down from what should be sustainable levels for doing their job. And we've reorganized the department, and we placed a whole lot of rule review requirements on them. So Diener's under a tremendous amount of pressure. And when I ask them about this, they profess that everything's fine. But from a public perspective, I think that we feel like the agency has been sort of dismantled and cut to the bone and unable to do their job. And maybe that's the point. But it's a real problem.
For people who remain concerned about this issue, obviously it will fade from the headlines once some of the pictures dissipate and the waterway looks a little bit better. Yeah. What can people do to keep this issue moving forward?
Well, that is a problem, and I was shocked to learn that nothing happened after the Tennessee spill. Well, I mean, the EPA started to act, but the state never really did anything after that horrific spill. So I'm hoping that the public has become aware of what a problem this is for the state, and now that we know it's all over the state, it's not just in the Dan River, but it's in Charlotte and in Wilmington and Asheville and other population centers, that I think that once the public realizes they're being poisoned, I think that starts to resonate with legislators, assuming that they are in touch with them. But I think it's unfortunate that it took the spill, but at least it's brought attention to the issue.
Up next, more on the coal ash spill from one of the first environmentalists on the scene of the Dan River disaster. Stay with us.